This morning's scripture is taken from the second letter of Corinthians to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning. And a very, very happy new year. Earlier in the service, I was talking to some of us, and we were talking about how quickly 2017 has gone, and now we are celebrating another new year. It looks like it was yesterday that we were celebrating new year for 2017, and now we are celebrating for 2018. Isn't it great? So let's bow our head and pray. Holy and gracious God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for bringing joy to us in the year past. And God, we also acknowledge your presence in our lives. God, we pray that the year that has passed, all the good things and the bad things that happened, God, thank you for getting us through all those and giving us a new year, giving us another opportunity to move forward, to keep going on our journeys. God, today, be among us, and may your spirit dwell among us so we may receive your word and embrace it, take it, and also take it to others who are in need. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So those of you who are with us online, I also want to say you Happy New Year wherever you are. If you are sitting in your living rooms, cozy living rooms, if you are sitting somewhere and you are enjoying a little break, Happy New Year, and we are with you and you are with us no matter where you are. So here is another opportunity, another season of making New Year resolution, because that's what we do on the New Year day or in this week. And it's an opportunity for us to make New Year resolutions and committing ourselves to change for the better. And we want to become a better person, a better spouse, a better parent, a better coworker, a better brother or sister, or a better neighbor, or a better parent, or even a better Christian. Some of us have thought of adopting a healthier lifestyle by eating healthy and exercising daily, which is great. And all these sound great resolutions to work on in order to become a changed person. So if you're a person who strives for a change in life, you probably made a New Year resolution in 2016, and a lot of us did, and some of us have kept them successfully, and some of us are carrying those resolutions to the next year because we want to continue to work on that, on those areas as we are improving. And if you're like me, you might have struggled a little bit with your resolutions. So let us look for a second at the survey on the top New Year resolutions. This was conducted last year, and the sample size was 5,000 people. And this tells us the top New Year resolutions in America last year. And the first is, the top is most of the people, they wanted to live their life to the fullest. Second to that are those who wanted to live a healthier lifestyle. And next to them were those who wanted to lose weight. And still, next to them were people who spend more time with family and friends. And next are those who wanted to save money and spend less. And last but not the least are those who wanted to pay down their debt. So nothing is surprising in this survey except for that most people expressed the desire to live life to the fullest. And this was the top resolution for the year 2016, according to this survey. And you may be thinking, are there people who don't make a resolution at all? And the answer is yes. According to Statistic Brain, 42% Americans never make a resolution, never make a New Year resolution. So this year, when I was working on making my own personal New Year resolution, I made some little research about this word. What is this resolution? What does this mean? And I wanted to get a deeper meaning of this word. And what I found was amazing. And this is what I'm going to share with you. Different people can define word resolution differently. Webster defines the word as being marked by firm determination. And this is a standard definition. And now what comes next is really interesting. In his book, Journey to Bethlehem, Jason Sorosky offers these definitions of resolution. To the musicians, a resolution is a harmony line from a dissonant tone, one that does not fit the melody, to a consonant tone that fits the melody. Harmonies can dance and amaze us with varied complexities for a while, but they must eventually resolve. This is what musicians think about this term. To the writers, a resolution is the end of a story, the final element of a twisting plot wrought for conflict, finally resolved to an ending where all is well. And I like this definition the most. To the chemist, anyone chemist here? To the chemist, it is the separation of a chemical compound back into its constituents or simplest parts. And still to the statesman, it is an expression of the determined will of an elected body. And last but not the least, to the graphic artist, it is the sharpness of the pixel count on a screen and the quality of the image produced. Aren't these definitions interesting? People from different professions, people from different areas of life can view this different, can interpret this differently. And did you notice that by any definition, whatever the way you define this word, a resolution is characterized by a return to simplicity? A focus on sharp definition and determination are broken down to its simplest, most harmonious parts. And without resolution, art and science and government and life in general all fall into chaos. Let's go back to the business of our own resolution now. So making a New Year resolution is great, but keeping one is even greater. You agree with that? Because it's the making, not the keeping, that helps us become a better human being. Whereas in absence of resolution, our life will remain in chaos or will remain static. We will long for more, but make no movement forward or toward it. And today we will look at these four steps that will not only help us making a realistic resolution, but also how can we stick to these and keep them for maximum output. So what if our resolution is less about what we desire for ourselves and more what God desires for ourselves. So let's look at these four steps. So first is, accept God's more in your life. Friends, making a resolution or even desire of making one is a sign that you desire a better life. You want to leave some of what Bible calls bad self with the year past, and your old self is your life or the parts of your life that you have not asked Jesus to redeem yet. These are the less portions of your life, and that is why you feel longing to leave them behind. And it may be a habit of excessive drinking, a pornography or pride or arrogance or malice or gossip or anger or violence, or living beyond means, or showing up for the meetings or events late. Probably that is something that you want to work on. Let me tell you one thing. Many of us are settling for less. Less love in our families, less self-control, less energy and fitness, and less joy and happiness. None of these are God's will for you. But making a resolution, you acknowledge that there are better things that you want, that you can do, or a better lifestyle you can adopt. That's why you want to make some change in life. And here is the good news. It's God's desire. It's God's desire for you to have more health, more love, more clarity, more wisdom. And if you have decided to leave some of your bad or old self behind, you have already made a choice to accept God's more for your life. And I want you to feel good about that and celebrate that, because you have already taken that step by having a desire to make a resolution and work on your old self, and you want to leave that behind. And no more matter how bad or dirty or small or big or your old self may be, you certainly can leave that behind and continue to become the new creation that Jesus is inviting you to be. God's will for you is to have more. God wants to work with you on your transformation of your new self. And God wants you to enter to a new year as a new person so that you can live life to the fullest. If you are someone who is still not sure that you can be transformed or become a new creation, if you are not sure that making a resolution will help because you have failed in the past, just accept what God is offering to you today. Just give yourself in His hands and tell Him that you want to change. Trust me, He has more for you. You just got to accept that. Number two, accept that you are loved by God and forgiven. And Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. A week ago, we celebrated Christmas. And we heard the stories and read the scriptures telling that Jesus was born to save us from our sins. God has forgiven us because He loves us. And Jesus came to give us a new life. Paul says that anyone who is in Christ has become a new creation. Anyone who is in Christ refers to anyone who believes in Christ and accept Him as his or her Savior. Such a person is already a new creation. And you have already been made new. Your dirt has already been washed and removed through the blood of Christ on the cross. And look at this verse. Can you put the verse back? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. There is a discontinuity as we read this verse. Paul is stressing that a discontinuity, and this discontinuity becomes more explicit when I read in a New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. You notice the discontinuity between what has passed and what is new? The moment you acknowledge that Jesus died for your sins, the transformation begins. Your old goes away and you will receive a new life. In two words, new creation, Paul captures the whole message of the gospel. The old has gone and the new is here. The key is to accept God's love and forgiveness of our sins and to keep accepting it, rather than believing it is not real when we get discouraged. And there will be times when you will feel discouraged, and you will. You will feel worthless because of your brokenness. You will feel strongly about going back to your old self. And there will be time when you will act out of your old self that you had left behind. And when it happens, and it will happen, when it happens, remind yourself that God loves you and He has forgiven you and He continues to forgive you no matter what we keep on doing. No matter what, and just keep going on the new path, the new journey that you have decided to take, or if you decided to continue the journey that you took last year. So remember that God loves you and has forgiven your sins. Number three, do what God is calling you to do. Recently, I had the privilege to host a reception for our outgoing Pakistani ambassador to the U.S., and the reception was held at Wesley Theological Seminary, and I invited the president of the seminary, Dr. McAllister, as well, to join us as well. After the ceremony and our one-on-one conversation with the ambassador, he shared how best he had tried to do what his government desired for him. He had taken the Pakistani-U.S. relation to a next level. He was proud that he engaged Pakistani-American community in the U.S. to play a role to bridge the gaps between the two nations. Like any good ambassador, he did everything that his government asked him to do. Friends, according to Paul, we are Christ's ambassadors. Paul said, we are ambassadors of Christ, and good ambassadors have to think about how to fulfill the directives of their leaders. They have the ability to act, but they do not act without thinking of how their actions serve the desires of those who sent them. So God is calling us to take the message of love and forgiveness and a new life to others, to embrace this message and then to take it to others. Take a second and think about someone you know who has no hope of forgiveness. Or someone who does not think him or herself worthy of a new beginning because they think that their brokenness is so big they cannot be renewed. God calls you to take this message to them. The message of renewal, the message of transformation, the message of a new creation, that no matter how big brokenness they have, God has the power to renew them. God is willing to turn them into a new creation. And before that, just be sensitive when you take this message to them. Take this as a message of hope and encouragement, not as a message of condemnation or discouragement. And when you do this, here is the magic. When you do this, you will feel empowered to keep your own resolutions. Number four, find a community. In his book, Who's Got Your Back?, author Keith Ferrazzi says, "We fail because we too often do it alone when trying to change." Has it happened with you? Have you experienced this? You try to change, but alone, and you experienced a failure. Maybe some of us succeed, but in my case, there are more chances that I would fail. So, because we too often do it alone when trying to change, and that may cause our failure. Consider the story of Jane Nitsch. Jane was overweight as a child. She was overweight in high school, and despite endless diet regimens, her waistline kept expanding throughout her 20s and 30s. And she fit the medical definition of obese. And Jane tried diets and pills that promised to take off the pounds, but she always gained back the weight she lost. At age 30, Jane started a diet sponsored by the Department of Health. And after 10 weeks, she was 20 pounds lighter. And then she started losing motivation. She realized that what she needed was someone to talk to for some support. And since she couldn't get her pals to make the trek with her to Manhattan, she brought the science to the program to their living rooms. And Jane and her friends would all lose weight together. And out of those first meetings grew Weight Watchers, widely recognized one of the most effective weight loss programs in the world. And Nitsch's idea was simple, very simple. Losing weight requires a combination of dieting and peer support. She held weekly meetings with weight check-ins and goal setting to promote accountability. And this was coupled with honest, supportive conversation about the struggles and setbacks and victories over losing weight. Nitsch lost 72 pounds, and she incorporated Weight Watchers International in 1963. Company's current CEO notes, and I quote, "Though the science of weight loss has evolved over the years, the core genes program, support and accountability has remained constant." You hear the message? Support and accountability. Friends, for your New Year resolution that you have made or will make in next few hours, you will need people who can support and hold you accountable. This will help you succeed. And the best people that I can suggest are those who have done this successfully and you can trust, who know the challenges and know to overcome those. We can help find and connect with someone here at Florus. And if your resolution is about getting better with your soul and go deeper in relationship with God, I encourage you to join a small group. You can check on our website. There are a few options available there that you can join, or the two that Ashley mentioned in the beginning. I encourage you to join a small group to do it together with others, where you can find support and where you can find accountability. And if you really don't know where to start, contact me. I will be very happy to assist you to find someone who can help you. Friends, here's the good news. God is willing to take your past. Your transformation can begin today. All you have to do is to make a choice. You can walk out of this sanctuary and remain your old self, or you can work to resolve the dissonance in your life by committing to seek God's will to become more. God offers you a lot more. You can embrace the new self Jesus wants for you. You can enter this new year as a newborn child, clean and innocent from all of the past guilt. We can live our lives to the fullest. This is God's gift for you on this Christmas, on this new year. Accept this gift. You've got to make a choice to accept this gift. Accept this gift. Amen, and Happy New Year.